Just want to ask about that. Tony Holland, Dr. Tony Holland, yesterday, and those antigens, those supermarket antigen tests that have become available. He came out very strongly against that. I think to some people surprised yesterday, saying don't buy them, don't use them. Very worried that it might have consequences for people. How do we feel about that? And how do we feel about antigen tests generally and the role they should have?
Well, just in relation to Lidl, I'm a little bit surprised. Generally speaking, Lidl have a good reputation, and they have. They've, you know, on the living wage and even community consultation when they're building supermarkets, I've seen them really, really good. But on this one, I mean, you know, if you've got COVID symptoms, you need a test, but you need treatment as well. And that's why it's free to ring your GP. You don't need to go to Lidl. You ring your GP, you self-isolate immediately. Are Lidl going to do contact tracing? I mean, these are issues that just have not been discussed. And I suspect that's why Tony Holland has been extremely strong about this. This is a big public health thing. There is no charge to ring your doctor. You must self-isolate, and the HSE then will do contact tracing. So I have no doubt that's the reason. I mean, self-administered antigen tests, I don't know what exact role that they have. I mean, they certainly wouldn't work for travel, for example. If you have to do essential travel, you have to go and get a certified one. So you think
Lidl are being irresponsible? Is that what you're...
I just would be very wary of getting involved in public health measures when I'm not a public health person like Lidl. I mean, they're a good supermarket. They've done good work. They've brought competition. I've no issue with that. But it's mixing up with public health. And I certainly would agree with Tony Holland. I'd be very, very cautious
about
this.
OK, I want to move on to the digital green certs because this, of course, was discussed last night at the EU summit in Porto by European leaders. If this comes in June, as it's moving towards now, will we be legally obliged to adopt it, Thomas Byrne?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is a regulation of the European Union that the member states and the European Parliament have to agree. So the negotiations are happening at the moment. It would be a legally binding regulation imposing an obligation on the state and a right on citizens to get this.
OK. When are we expecting it to be in place, and how long will it be in place for?
Well, I don't have direct control over that, because what's happening at the moment is that the European Parliament and the Member States are negotiating. So whenever that finishes, I think there's a European Parliament plenary session towards the end of June to finalise it, and then the Member States do it, I think, the following day. Those negotiations are happening at the moment. It's done through an expedited procedures, and all the while then the Commission and the Member States are working to make sure it works and make sure we're working with the technology to make sure it's put in place while the legislation is going through. So, for example, there's an e-health network at European level. There's a lot of work going on. The Commission has published its own technical guidance on it. They've put in place a fund for member states to draw down. We've applied for that. So there's a lot of work going on. This is really difficult, but it's difficult for every member state. There's no doubt there is a legal obligation.
OK, but go back to the timing of it. What are we expecting?
We're expecting that it will be in place at the end of June. There may well be a transition period as part of it, but we have to await the outcome of the negotiation to see it's 6 weeks at the moment, what the transition period would be that we would have to implement.
So once it comes
fully
in, you would have 6 weeks to get your ducks in a row, basically.
Up to, but the European Parliament wants to delete that. So we'll have to await the outcome of the negotiations. That's why member states are working very, very urgently to do this. And I think the public at that point, if the vaccination programme keeps going gangbusters the way it is at the moment, and it's working, and we don't have another wave like they had in Chile when they reached 50% of vaccines, you know, the public will be demanding this.
So if it's in place by the end of June, and it transpires a 6 week transition period, the middle of August, people here should be entitled to travel under these.
Well, that would be the very latest. But as I said, that 6 week period may not be there, and even if it is there, we may not need it. I mean, I'm hoping that we don't.
Perhaps any at the very latest is that the middle of August.
Now, just be absolutely clear. Travel rules remain a matter for member states. So we will still, this is to facilitate free movement, absolutely. And just to be clear as well to listeners, it's not a vaccination cert. It will also have a negative test result or a recovery result as well.
Okay, two questions. I'm just very anxious.
And I'll give you some examples of that. So for example, some of the Mediterranean countries may let tourists in without vaccination, just if they have a negative test. And that'll be a matter for them. We may say, I don't know what we're going to say, because that'll be decided. We may say, you need vaccination or you need a negative test. I don't know. But the member states themselves will make that decision. What this will do is facilitate that. Now, already at the moment in Ireland, if you're fully vaccinated, you're entitled not to go into mandatory hotel quarantine. And what people are doing when they show up at the airport is they've certs or pieces of paper. Same for a negative test. They may have a text, they may have a piece of paper, an email, or whatever. This will even standardise that for that. And it is very badly needed at the moment.
OK, what will it do to our mandatory hotel quarantine system then? Can that...
Well, it's not
operate side by side with this.
It's not directly related to it.
But will any EU citizens be directed towards mandatory hotel quarantine at that point then?
The exact position is that our travel arrangements are a matter for ourselves. So mandatory hotel quarantine is in place, I think, until the 9th of June. There's a sunset clause in it then. What's happening already is that the government is reviewing it, looking very closely at it to see what happens after that. Conscious, obviously, of the public health requirements. And also conscious of our fundamental rights of free movement within the European Union. That's okay. Clear. So we've gradually opened up, and I think we all want to open up even further. And we're just going to do it in a very, very careful way. But there's no doubt this is there. There's no doubt the vaccination programme is working and that we are moving towards this.
OK. I want to bring in Paul Hackett now, CEO of clickandgo.com and board member of the Irish Travel Agents Association. Paul, what assurances are you and your members looking for from the government in relation to the digital green cert?
The digital green certificates, Katie, are a really clear and safe pathway for the resumption of international travel for leisure and corporate reasons. And it was great to hear the Minister say this is a regulation and must be adopted in full with no veto potential from the Irish Government. It is very worrying when the Minister then goes on to start outlining that the Irish Government will maintain control on the various legal restrictions that are in place already on travel. We have over 40 pieces of legislation enacted this year alone which limit travel out of this country. When we're creating something across Europe that is a mass harmonisation piece of legislation that covers vaccination, testing and recovery, there should be no need to maintain those statutory instruments and other restrictions on travel because public health has been taken into account in this. It is not something that's loose or relaxed. It's people travelling when they are fully vaccinated, when they are tested or when they have recovered from COVID. So there should be absolutely no reason within the EU why we don't have the freedom of movement that is our right.
Okay, the Minister's nodding along to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with a lot of that, but what I would say is I'm just simply stating as a matter of fact that it is a matter for us in terms of our travel regulations. And what we've done is we've opened up travel on an inter-county basis from Monday. So these things happen gradually. I'm not saying that this is a way out of it or anything. It's not. We want to do this, but we want to do it carefully. The regulation will not be in force until late June. So, you know, what we're saying is just let's take things very, very carefully at the moment. But clearly, freedom of movement is a fundamental EU right. That's why we're not in favour, for example, of Brexit and what they have lost. We've got to keep that. But it's simply a matter of fact that is just a matter for us. But we've all said we want to open this up, but let's do it safely and gradually.
And I totally agree, Minister, because we're not looking and speaking just from an outbound tourism perspective. We're talking for the airlines, the airports, the inbound business in this country, the hotels, the 350 to 400,000 jobs that rely, because this system does allow the EU to open inbound and outbound in a safe way.
Can I just ask, if we decide we can proceed with this along
we will be proceeding with it, yeah.
Well, without the caveats that were put in place there. Do we have the digital infrastructure to do it? Will we be able to link up our vaccination records with, is it a phone app? Is that how
it'll be digital or paper, so it'll be a QR code. I would say on the vaccination it's probably easier. On the test result, that's what they're working on at the moment. I don't think any country would be able to open this up today or tomorrow on a technological basis, but thankfully we're doing it on a pan-European basis. The European Commission is doing huge work because they see freedom of movement as fundamental for all of us.
But
and we're feeding into that and working along with that.
Yeah, I was just saying, are there people on this case right now developing
absolutely.
This technology?
Absolutely.
And are you confident that it will be there when we get the green light to go ahead with this?
I'm confident they're doing absolutely everything possible at the moment.
No, there's a difference.
I'm not going to take criticism. Sinn Féin, we're all for mandatory hotel quarantine. Forget about that now.
Sorry, Thomas, I want to address. Mandatory hotel quarantine is your government's policy. Ye brought it in. Now, are you suggesting that the opposition are running the government policy? We're not. Mandatory hotel quarantine is your government's policy. Now, what we all want to see, Thomas, is not someone playing silly political games with this, because there's 140,000 plus jobs dependent on getting this right. So when the question is asked, is the infrastructure going to be in place? What we want to hear from you is that it is, not that you hope it is or that you're gonna cross your fingers, that it will be in place because it is important.
Okay. Look, I've tried to give absolutely factual answers to you, Katie, on this. There's an entity called the European eHealth Network. They're working all the time now on this under Commissioner Didier Reynders. I'll be talking to him, I think, on Tuesday. And there's tremendous work going on at the moment. I say there's common kind of technological standards. There's money being provided by the European Commission. No country would be able to do this today, but all countries will have to have this in place When the regulation is enacted. Have to have this in place, Katie.
And this is very big news for the aviation sector and for tourism and hospitality. We're agreeing, Thomas.
Both in aviation constituencies.
Yeah. Just bear with me for one moment. So what we need to see is, one, a full explanation, because people are nervous about something that's a vaccine passport and all that. So that needs to be clear. I understand that and you understand that, but there needs to be an information campaign and we need to know that it can be sustainable. But we also need to see, because, we need to keep our connectivity, we need to protect those jobs, and inbound tourism is going to be really, really absolutely essential in the latter part of the summer if we can manage it, but even in the off-peak season, because there's so many jobs riding on this, and we all want the government to get this right, to do their homework and to make sure that we're ready to go at the same time as other European states. Yeah. That's all.
And can I just add, and I'll let you back in one moment, Minister, I just wanted to ask Paul Hackett, what are you telling your customers when they call wanting to book foreign holidays?
Most people in our industry, most members of the Irish Travel Agents Association, are saying later in the summer, because we are not clear as to when things are going to happen. We're very clear that this is going to be completed in the EU at the end of June. We're clear there's a 6-week lag, and beyond that,
not be now, according to the minister.
Well, I think what the minister said on the tech piece is very interesting, Katie, because we are probably the only country in Europe who does not have an integrated IT infrastructure in our health service. And I think, leaving travel aside, from a COVID point of view, this is one of the serious gaps that has been thrown up for the future in terms of public health, because it not only impacts the ability to implement the digital green certificates, and by the way, Minister, Denmark did so earlier this week with regard to some domestic areas of management of the digital green certificate within their own jurisdiction. So there is the capability to move to this quickly, but it's dependent on having an integrated IT infrastructure for our health service for us as citizens of the state.
Well, I don't think the digital green cert will be dependent on that. We're going to be bringing that in as part of the European economic investment that's happening over the next year or so. But that will be separate, and that this will happen. We will have to happen. This will be a citizen's right, and that's certainly what I'm saying to officials, and I think they understand that very, very clearly.
Okay, and maybe I just put to Jed Nash. Jed, mm-hmm. Should we be concerned that we're all gung-ho now, travel is going to open up internationally as well as nationally?
No, I don't think we're being gung ho. I think everybody's trying to be really responsible, and I'm pleased that the Digital Green Cert initiative is progressing. And I need to be reassured, frankly, that the tech has been organised at the same time. I mean, this is really important. It's choreographed properly across the European Union to make sure that it's done safely and that it's done securely. But let's say this: I mean, three of us on the panel today actually come from constituencies and represent areas that are heavily dependent on the airport. And I don't really think, Dublin Airport in particular, I don't really think that people fully appreciate the strategic importance of airlines in the aviation sector, not just to our tourism sector, which is obviously crucially important, but to our business environment more generally. And I think it's really, we need to be mindful of what Aer Lingus said yesterday. I don't believe that they're scaremongering. I mean, Aer Lingus staff, as other contributors in the programme will know, have been through, reform and restructuring fatigue over the last 20 years. And we need, to support our aviation sector, need state support. We've had, about 150 million euros drawn down from the ISIF fund as a 3-year loan for Aer Lingus. They've drawn that down. Okay. But what we need to do is actually look at what other EU states have done to help their airlines, because our airline sector is so important. And I know that the trade unions have been trying to negotiate with government on a kind of expanded short-term working scheme to try to assist secure jobs in the airline industry, and we need a focus on that because those jobs are critically important, and a strong aviation sector for Ireland, as Duncan Smith and myself have been saying for a long time, is crucially important to our business community, to jobs and our society more generally.
Okay, can I just make two brief points? One is that, just when we talk about retaining rights over travel and travel rules, large parts of the EU are still in a really difficult position on the pandemic, so we have to be very, very careful about that, importation of variants and also importation of virus. Secondly, it's only last month since the pressure was on mandatory hotel quarantine from opposition and from journalists, rightly. And I'm glad to see that that's moved on, and Sinn Féin and the Liberal Party have gone on to this particular page. It is really, really important for our aviation sector.
Don't be silly.
That we open up this.
Sorry, Katie, I want to answer that. You well know that we have been looking for the implementation of the recommendations on the Aviation Task Force since it reported. Two of the 12 have been implemented. So it's the government, in fact, that are late to this, not the opposition. And you're very welcome here now, Thomas.
Okay, we leave that there. We'll take a break.